Conversations with the Namibian performance artist and scholar Nashilongwe Shipwe Mushandia in Basel in September 2019. Nashilongwe Shipwe reflects in the conversation about aspects of decolonizing African, in particular African colonial collections. Nashilongwe Shipwe Mushandia performed the dance of the rubber tree in front of the buildings of the Basler Afrika Bibliographien and in fact inside its archival storage rooms, with the question and ideas in mind of decolonizing the archive and cleansing a space which is speaking to ghosts.
There was a question with regard to your performance last week in our archives regarding this sort of significance of fire burning and flame. And the question was, why candles?
Why candles?
Yeah, so you did distribute candles. Yeah. Some of us had candles in our hands in front of the office before we entered the building. And of course, as an institution, we basically told you we can't have flames, a candle burning in the institution itself. So I assume your choreography made it that we had candles outside.
Yeah.
I assume so.
Yeah.
But there was this question, so are candles with a flame in any way related to your broader subject of burning the museum?
Yes. So the idea is just to have fire. Whether it's a big fire, whether it's a small fire, whether it's a temporary fire.
You simply
fire,
wanted that people
the presence
basically
of a fire.
Yeah.
So that's why it was suggested that why don't you we make or we buy fake fire, because you can also buy that.
There has
to be
actual
fire, even if it's just for 2 seconds of the performance.
Yeah. Of course, the interesting thing for me was I was standing at the back and I saw that most candles got extinguished very quickly, except one.
Yeah.
And that was your candle.
Yeah.
It simply continued to burn.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
But that is
everybody was sort of trying to keep this flame, sort of, and you didn't do anything with it. You had it on the ground in that pot and it continued
to burn.
And you didn't try to save it, it just burned.
That is interesting. Yeah.
I found this quite interesting.
Yeah. But candles also play a very big role in spirituality and spiritual. And I think my work has, I can't quite locate it in a particular spiritual framework, because I think it takes from very different spiritual practices around the world. But in my language, which I discovered, my language of performance, which I discovered, or which I sort of started theorizing in my master's, where I researched shamanic practices in Katutura, traditional healing practices, those practices make use of candles. So all in all, the language of my performance is ritualized behavior, because I research Odano, which just means performance, but I'm more interested in its ritualistic aspects and what that mobilizes. So there's also an aspect of healing to the performance. So candles are very symbolic and very, they play a particular role, even depending on what color it is. We've spoken about prayer before, and in my writing of my thesis, in the one chapter where I tried to sort of it's titled Meditating Towards a Post-Mafangia Movement, where I read visualities to kind of explain play and playfulness and how the visual meets the performative.
Mm-hmm.
One of the readings or the things, arguments I go into is this prayer thing.
Yeah.
And looking at people like Fanon, what they've said about prayer. Oh Lord, please make me a man who questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Turning to Mafangeo, who also has a lot of, oh Lord, please help me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are a couple of others as well. And prayer, what does Maldonado Torres, who is a decolonial scholar, based in America, in the States, I think, I'm not so sure, but I think Nelson Maldonado Torres, in his writing of Decolonial Thought and the 10 Theses of Decoloniality and Coloniality.
Ah, yes, okay.
He, in fact, in his recent, one of his recent essays is on the coloniality of human rights.
Yeah, and there
he also goes a bit into oration and prayer debunks some of these ideas around prayer and in the revolution, historic revolutionary work, how they've always somehow relied on religious, spiritual.
And salt also sort of comes into
cleansing.
Cleansing
the space as a practice from home.
And is there something positive, cleansing? Or it is it something neutral?
No, it's definitely positive.
But why did you then cleanse the facade of our institute?
Because that's what needs cleansing, no? it's part of clearing the space. It's part of speaking to the ghosts of the space, the dust of the space. These objects are toxic.
All that is in that basement.
The violence that's been collected over the years by this object. The storing. In my one article where I make... it's actually from my paper from the UNAM conference. It's titled Black Boxes and White Cubes as Concentration Camps, speaking to institutional violence and intergenerational trauma. I say that we often pretend as if theaters and museums are the most hygienic spaces because of their storage, preservation, whatever. But they are toxic, right? So this whip might have been used for toxic reasons, whether it's by a black man or a white man, historically, but then brought into a museum, toxified with cancerous substances in order for it to stand the exhibitionism. It's all of that, all that toxic. And actually, the opposite is, and this is my argument, that this space, these boxes are not so different from the notions of concentration, because they are concentrated intoxications.
Yeah.
And in this workshop we did in Beirut, the question came out again, maybe then to detoxify.
Yes.
Probably means we might need to burn.
Yeah.
Or to bring the fire, the presence into this.
And cleansing is part of that too?
Yes. Yes. So it's not separate.
Yeah.
It's ideologically it's education, but it's also healing. And it's also creative. And it's also historic work.